So when the process of repudiation takes place, not only is it a call, yes or no, to do it by all of the members, it's like a voting process, and there's 7 members on the council, which represent guardians of the planet. In addition to that, there have to be decisions strategically made on who is going to be ruling over the next version. So right now, there is a significant decision that has to be made about who the ruling force of 6 is. Notice the word force, not power. And there is someone who has stepped up volunteering to be chosen, and they are in negotiations with this council in order to determine whether they get to have 6. And I can release who that is if you're okay with that, Susan. It is the previous leader of the collective that is taking over 4. So they used to be called the Markabians. Now they're called the Malekadians because the ruler was a Mark and now it's Malek. So Mark, the one that was the ruler of the collective between 3 and 4, Earth 3 and 4, is now asking to lead 6, the automaton state. And he is in negotiations to do that by offering to present a technology to humanity that is off-world tech, not accessible here by any means, regardless of how much research science does, in order to begin to eliminate AI from the biological system. So that's what's taking place right now. In order to assist in ultimately our objective, which is the securing of 8. And creating the formation of 5 right now is for the potential of 8. So any questions there?
What happens? I guess I'm still trying to understand that if there's disconnection between 4 and 5, what does that look like? And then who gets control over 5? Is that how I understand it? Because somebody wants Earth 6, and there's been discussions about taking that over. I've been instructed not to say the name.
Yeah. Well, you can at this point. I mean, we shouldn't be floaty about it, but in this particular context.
Okay. Okay. So what does this disconnection between 4 and 5? What is expected? Will we actually feel it in the scene? What will it be? And what does this mean as who's taking over 5 so that the Malekadians get 6?
Okay. So Malekadians will not get 6.
They will not get 6.
They've tried to get into.
They will not get 6. Oh, I thought that's who was negotiating. Sorry.
No. Previous leader of that group has now put himself forward to be a new collective leader.
Okay.
So the Malekadians right now are definitely allocated rulership over 4. That is a reality that is representative of a dominion over us, a regulatory governing energy over. So people who are going to remain in 4 are people who want governments, for example, regulatory bodies, institutions to dictate what is proper conduct in a society so that they can work within the lines. Why? They're not quite ready to take on the accountability of being fully sovereign. That's key. The ones that are ruling over 5, it's a bit of a complex answer because there is no rulership over 5. 5 is technically a sovereign state. And it is, I don't know how, tell me if this is going to trigger you because this is important. It is the rising of the age of the ray. The rays are meant to model. So this is transcending superhuman, although they are meant to embody the superhuman while they embody the signature of the ray in order to, as twins, model the existence in 5 as it could be. So rays are the ones that are tasked with modeling the and elevating the reality. Six doesn't have a ruler yet, and that's why the repudiation of 4 and 5 is still in the process of happening, because there is question as to who will be, it's so close to formation that it's now to be allocated the leader for five, for six. Six will have a domination and control vibe, most definitely. Seven is still nebulous. And Susan, I know we're going to walk into seven, but it's still, for me, at least I see it as still nebulous before we dive in.
Okay. So that's what I was curious about. Like, what's the gap between five and eight? Like, how, why is it that we go from five to eight and not five to six, six to seven, seven to eight? I mean, this is all so new to me as well.
Super relevant question. Very relevant question. Easiest answer is the human would explode. So if you go direct, like a straight line going up in acceleration of evolution, they wouldn't handle it. So for some reason, there has to be a step back and then forward. Like it's a little bit of that. So five is going to be a fundamental shift upwards in evolution for humanity. Six is one of the darkest stages of humanity so far.
Will we see it in our lifetime, you think?
Well, interesting question, because the rulers of four wanted to get into five. They weren't allowed to get into five. So as a result, they expedited the formation of six so that six is now felt on four. And it's certainly felt on five for now. And how that is expressed is in more artificial intelligence and technologies coming in,
right,
that will do things for us, that will help us, that will learn from us, that kind of thing. That's purposefully an aggressive move and not an awesome one.
Yeah, because I thought six wasn't supposed to be showing up for about 2,500 years.
Technically, it wasn't supposed to.
Oh,
okay. Because they're pissed off.
Okay. And then I guess I'm not sure that I got my question answered on what
we expect
between the four and five. And then the other point, another point that also came up for me was you're talking about how they're willing to give up some of the AI, some of the negotiation to get six is to give up the AI. If you can explain that.
I'm gonna go for the first question, remember the second one.
Go for it, Catherine.
Here we go. I'm on my second can of this, so I can do that. So how is it gonna look physically? So we're already experiencing some aspects of this, and it's not to be diminished that we're experiencing this, because we're gonna say, yeah, well, that's already happening. It's not happening for the collective yet. Things like, you cannot remember the name of the person that you knew 2 years ago. You can't remember what the person's name is that you used to be friends with. How can you not remember that? It's a separation of realities to the point where they are simply not in your awareness anymore. You know that they used to exist, but where the hell are they now? No idea. So it's a more intense experience than just having a relationship dissipate because the connection isn't there. You actually won't remember who they are anymore. You know that they existed. There's an imprint of them in the reality, but no idea who that person was. That's going to be much more prevalent.
Wow. And that's what, whether you're in four or five, like both will experience that?
Yes.
People in both will experience it?
That will be more, good question. More prevalent for those in five. Ones in four will feel aggression toward those in five. They will feel rejection and a loss and a being left behind by those in five. So there is a more antagonistic, frustrated energy in them, while we are just confused. Who are you again? I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like lots of fun, right?
Yeah.
Can I ask, what's the, like, I understand the benefit of just learning this in general, but if things are so far in the future, like, what is the benefit of knowing this in this lifetime? Is it like, if we start to integrate and download, that it helps us in our next life and moving forward?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Great question. Partly it is about seeding for future potential, but primarily you've entered into a community of beings who are ahead of their time. Mm-hmm. They've come here ahead of their time in order to ensure that certain things do take place for the benefit of the evolution of humanity. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like time travelers coming in from different spaces and places in time. And the reason why this group is so intensely dedicated to spiritual discipline and strengthening spiritual muscles is because you have to be able to hold your own space outside of current time in order to bring in that future. Let's say
that way.
So no, this is one of those reasons. So there's so much counter intention coming in to attempt to stop these things from happening. We're kind of like the counter to the counter coming in and saying, hold on, this is what's showing up right now. How are we going to position the reality so that as cause, it's still secured for those that are of the highest benefit for?
You know what just happened? The sheet that I had with counter intention on it just fell down.
Nice. High five.
Woohoo!
That's right.
Okay. Wow. Okay. All right then.
It's so funny. Okay. We got on the call too. Like there were all these cars that were so loud. Like they didn't want, like it was almost like I wasn't meant to hear it. And I've never heard that much street traffic. It got so loud outside.
That's amazing. So, I love that.
Yeah.
So let's go back to that question of how else will the bifurcation of the realities take place? We know that there are already pockets of communities that are kind of being considered off grid, where they're more self-sustaining, self-sourcing. That's going to be happening more and more. And those are going to become the natural solutions, the natural go-tos for us, rather than some anomaly somewhere where we have to find it between like tons of haystacks, you know? That's going to be much more prevalent, which means that those who are here to begin to form those first experiences of the new are successful. But what we have to do as those who are in five is to fight back, or to see and then dissolve, depending on where you want to go with this, the resistance to the new. We're going to still want to go into the mainstream solutions. We're going to feel a new level or a next level of mourning those mainstream solutions as more of the old and the normalized reality dissolves at expedited paces. So we have to really maintain a level of stability within us as everything around us completely falls apart. And these are like the biggest chunks that are falling off right now. So it's important to maintain that unaffected state of stillness as you see those things coming through. Let's see what else. Again, an inexplicable level of joy that is not comprehensible. How can I be this happy or satisfied with my life when everything is falling to shit? That again, internally, this is going to be a potential for counter, because you're going to be easily in doubt. Hold on, should I feel this way? Shouldn't I commiserate with everyone? Am I leaving them behind and all that crap? So this is a huge aspect of turmoil that has to be let go of as quickly as possible. Otherwise, it'll tear you up more intensely than it has so far. Just taking a look at if there's anything else. Yeah. And the other thing, more for four than for five, is if you imagine, for people who are in four are still experiencing an up level. They're still experiencing a shift up. It's simply not in the same context as those that are going in five. Five transcends many of the human drama dynamics that are still very prevalent in four. So for example, anger is going to be stimulated quite intensely. Addictions stimulated quite intensely. Comparison in the
pain. You mean in four?
In four.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, yeah. Because I feel like I have transcended that a little bit. Yes. Like, so I don't really have the capacity to get angry anymore.
Excellent. So those are the sorts of things that, especially in a moon like yesterday, are going to be almost like overstimulated in beings, specifically for the reason that we want to wrench that drenched sponge dry of anger, squeeze out all of the frustration, that kind of thing. Those things will still be coming up quite intensely, but the ones in four don't have the capacity to be in a level of awareness high enough to be able to navigate that in a space of cause. So there can be more chaos as a result of that. So for those who are in five, but who are in that turmoil within themselves, hold on, shouldn't I be with people? How can I be happy if everyone is sad? Very simplistically put. One of Susan's functions that we've certainly recently identified is like taking the hand of those who are in that state of turmoil and pulling them out of the mess of four, or the magnetic pull of four, to bring them up into a level of five. So the people she'll have sessions with will tend, not exclusively at all, but she will have a specific group who will be struggling with that final step into five. There will also be, and Jenny, this is so specifically for you, there will also be a group of beings very much meant to secure their place in five who are more and more aware, acutely aware of their reason for being in this life. And they will be struggling with their will to be here. So the war of attrition, that pounding of will be so hard on them that they will be not in the category of being Susan's is pulling out of that into that final step of five. They will be entering into potential extinction. That's how fast and far they have a chance to plummet if they're not supported. So where you think it's like people who have been lost for years and years and have no sense of themselves that you're working with, not necessarily. It could be someone who has retrieved their contract, sacred contract, and who is struggling so fundamentally with moving forward that there is no way that they'll be able to get themselves out without support, and support in a variety of different ways, not simply support like a quantum dojo, for example, but support in many different ways, including community. Mm-hmm. But it's not on the level of human community in any way. It's on the level of support in re-injecting will into their being. Hello, Stephanie. Yeah, that's extremely important for you. So where in the last meditation you were saying, you know, they haven't come yet. I know what my work is, but they just haven't shown up yet for me to work with them. Take a look at that, because they have.
Okay.
And the way that you assist those who have, let's say, gotten to that point of awareness versus those who are very much lost in hopelessness from a different perspective where they don't even know what a soul is, the way that you assist them is different. And yet you're still leveraging your isness, your attributes when you walk into that experience.
Okay. I'm hoping this recording will be available so I can listen to this portion of it.
You know what? I will pop it into all of our portals. It's not going to be, I don't know. I could be wrong, but I don't think this is supposed to be a YouTube content kind of thing, is it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. A YouTube content.
I'm trying to think marketing a little bit, but it's not making any sense. Okay. Anything else? So Stephanie, there's a lot of stuff that came through and we didn't start recording from the beginning, but we did have a meditation yesterday, Susan and I, where it was a New Earth meditation and a lot of information came through about the stage of Earth 4 and Earth 5 separating at a more intense level right now and what's happening with 6. Susan, what's happening with 7? Did we get more clarity on that? I don't recall that.
Yeah, we did a little bit. The off-world tech that could be placed in 6.
Right. Right. Okay. So so Stephanie, just a quick recap. So, Malachadians are the ones that are governing now over 4. Before Malik was promoted to leader, there was a previous owner of that collective that was called Mark. So it was called the Markadians. Then when Malik got promoted, it turned into the Malachadians, same collective, different leader. The previous leader, Mark, is asking to be the leader of 6. And his negotiation is to say, listen, I want to be the leader of 6, but what I'm going to give you in return is I'm going to give you a specific access to off-world technology in Earth 6 that will be able to extract the AI from the biological vessel. If that happens in 6, then the length of time for this cycle of forced reincarnation will be cut down from 35 lifetimes to 17 lifetimes on average. So that's the negotiation that's taking place right now. And that would, of course, change. That's why 7 is still relatively nebulous, because it depends on that allocation of leadership in 6. Because 35 and 17 is a lot in terms of lifetimes and what could change in that period of time. Any other questions or processing? Go ahead, Stephanie.
Oh, no questions. I was just a wow, more of a wow. Yeah. Now I understand because of the reflections and the commentary you shared with me yesterday on that video. Yeah, just about the detoxing and
exactly
the technologies involved. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. That was huge. So when people generalize stuff like that, and I know Jenny and Nicole, this is off point a little bit. I don't know if we should share that with them. Should we share that with them? Should we share that with them or no?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
And oh, Susan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I actually didn't watch the video. I just listened to your commentary.
Okay.
Same. I didn't have time. I didn't watch the video at all.
So I'm going to, should I do that? I'm going to do that now then if that's okay. So what happened was, so Stephanie is starting a school for children, that is outside of the typical school system. And one of the things that's happening now is there is a, let me just forward this to you first. What I'm going to do is individually send the link.
The rink?
The link to the video.
It's a great rink.
We're all in the rink.
Nicole, do you have a Telegram thing with us?
I'm in your chat. I think that I saw the pop-up from the...
She doesn't have a private one.
I don't have a private one.
Got it. Give me one second.
It is. We're going through that. Is that the disconnect from 4 to 5 going on? And should we be expecting to feel some of the changes of that happening?
So it's decision time in the next 24 hours, less than 24 hours, regarding who's going to be the leader of 6.
Okay. And then that will dictate a lot of
that will dictate what happens to 4 and 5 separation.
Okay, thank you.
No, it doesn't make sense, but that's just the mechanics.
Catherine, when you
long time ago we gave up the idea of having things make sense, but you know, go ahead and tell me to go there.
Catherine, when you touched on speaking about people who are like receiving their sacred contracts and are having a really difficult time like being able to show up, I'm not exactly sure how you were speaking about it in the context, I automatically like felt how much suffering there's going to be like in my heart. Like I actually felt how much suffering there's going to be with
no kidding.
Yeah, like it really like hit me profoundly. So
we're talking about suffering for the people who are struggling with doing the work here, or just in general the suffering on the planet. What did you pick up on?
No, it was when you said that it's almost like they'll know what they're meant to be doing, but they're having such a hard time showing up in that space. It was like connecting to that suffering to the point that they are almost going to be driven to that like space of extinction.
Oh, okay.
Felt that really, really strongly.
I feel like you and Jenny could have a coffee and talk. I really do, Jenny. There's so much there.
Yeah. I just felt that really strong. It was really heavy.
And I know this sounds ridiculous, but it's a market. It's being aware that there is a massive group that is absolutely going to be doing that, because they may have a sacred contract and be in forced reincarnation all at the same time because of the conditions on the planet that we know are happening. So they can't necessarily follow through on that. And that grief, that pain, that suffering Nicole picked up on is actually reflective of a very specific community. This could open up a huge thing for you.
Yeah. Well, Nicole, we'll connect offline.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I mean, I don't know too much about this yet. I'm like just starting to get introduced to it, but I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie, what are you picking up on in terms of energetics from where you are? You're in Ecuador right now.
Energetically, it's much too calm here. It's like, I realize why I need to be in Toronto. I need that motion, that push to keep me going. It takes double the effort here. So whoa. I'm still going. Like I go every day, but it I just notice it taking so much more effort. That's all.
That's fascinating.
So ramping up my willingness, yeah, while I'm here.
So this is interesting because I don't know if you were here on the call for that, but you know how Jenny works with those who are on a path to potential extinction? Before it was sort of assumed that she would be working with people who were really in a devastated state, a forced reincarnation, just like totally disconnected. She's very much also positioned to work with people who, for example, are connected, have a sacred contract, plummeted in their will to do it, because what is the point, looking at the horror show on the planet right now, and then falling so fast, so hard that they are actually having a hard time staying connected, and that that disconnection is bringing in the potential for extinction, because it's that pivotal a life. So it's interesting that you bring that up. Another thing to look at for you is the value placed on urgency and stress to get something done. The putting out of a fire being the catalyst to accomplish something. Mm. So the fact that you're right now in Ecuador and it's super slow and you have no pressure from that direction to push you into action is a fascinating process of detoxing out of being the one that puts out fires.
Yeah.
Must feel really shitty.
Yeah, I expressed it earlier to somebody. We're just like, how are you? That was my answer. I was like, you know, usually you can somewhat control the process of getting things done, and I feel like I can't, so I'm just having to, but I don't want to sit back and also do nothing. So it's just this, I don't know, it's this weird dance I'm playing with each day, like testing it out.
Totally. I totally hear you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was interested. Oh, sorry.
Whoever wants to.
Sorry.
Oh, I wanted to mention that I think I was working with somebody a few days ago, and it was about one of their, I guess, attributes, one of their superpowers, and about being able to access it and turn it on more. And it was interesting because I actually had to work with them through the consciousness level scale and move them up just for that one attribute. In most areas, they're fine. It was just in this aspect of being able to look at this or use this, they were so low that it was about working to bring them up. I thought that was fascinating. So it wasn't in general, it was actually a very specific, let's go in, work on it and move them up.
That is fascinating. The video, so I sent two links to both of you, to you and to Nicole. One is a YouTube video that gives context to what I'm commenting on, and then a 57 minute audio recording about the reflections on that video. That video has three people in it. One of them is particularly popular right now in the community of like people talking about spirituality and stuff. I've been sent a few things from different people from him, and I don't jive, not to say I'm devaluing him. I just don't do it. The thing is, he says that those who are not wicked, i.e., I'm using his words, i.e., those who are not part of a cabal, will all ascend into five. And in this audio recording where I'm reflecting on the video, the implications of that sentence are massive. It is not true in any way. If you are not at a base camp of 550 on the consciousness scale, you will not be able to hold steady in five. Mm. 550 is the heart. Is love. If you're not coming from the heart space all the time, not in a gooey kind of way, but in a very specific quantum way, you are not able to hold five, and the magnetic or the polarization, the pull into four, will easily draw you back in. And in that recording, you'll hear me say what is to be addressed to be able to start to work from a higher base camp so that you can eventually reach five. So the consciousness scale is very relevant, heart space all the way, all the way. Mm. Go ahead, Nicole.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to connect to feeling, I don't know if it's just personal context, but I'm finding the density of the downtown Toronto core is so like apocalyptic. Like I'm finding that it's almost pulling my, it's testing my heart space. It's like testing my vibrational, and I'm here because I need to work and I need to move some things forward. But I think I'm just trying to figure out how to navigate. Like it's so dark, like walking around and seeing how people are living it, it just feels, I'm not really sure how to, I don't even really know what I'm asking, but I think I'm just trying to get clear of location,
imagination.
Well, and also like location for ascension, like being in these like dense populations of, this is probably where a lot of people need it, but are they even open to what we're going to be offering? I'm not sure what I'm asking.
No, it's a really good question. Oddly enough, a lot of us are moving into the same general neighborhood.
No way.
Yeah, it's really weird. And this is an interesting question for Stephanie to reflect on, because she's now moving out of the downtown core and into more of a North York Thornhill type space. So that's a good thing to share in a minute. And I'll open up the floor to you, Stephanie, in a minute. But the other thing is, we are not in energetic conditions right now at all anymore that in which it is relevant to assume that everyone has capacity to get assistance, to up level, to open their hearts. A lot of them are closed for the next 35 lifetimes.
Yeah, I can feel it.
So being in a concentrated space where there's a lot of those beings who don't have capacity right now to open up their hearts isn't a good strategy. It may have been before because there was still potential. So maybe you could hit more like on a scale level. At this point, it's more about finding exactly the opposite. It's about those who are receptive, who are open, who are accelerating, and ideally who are ahead of their time, so that you can begin cultivating your own space in this world on a very different level. So if you can, extricating yourself from that space, especially if you feel such sensitivity to it, is a really good option. Mm-hmm. Stephanie, how are you feeling about moving out of downtown and into more of a suburban space with greenery?
I'm excited for it. I grew up like that anyway. So for me, it's just a bit of going back to it. It was more of a, the last 10, 15 years that I've been more of a city person. I liked the hustle and bustle, you know, I liked being in a city. I liked the busyness, but it's just, that's where I was in my life at the time. And now it's so different. So
I feel the same way. I've never felt more sensitive to it than in the last, I think, 2 years. So
do you feel something like there's a darkness too that Nicole was talking about?
Yeah, I understand that. It's like you go out and you just can't relate, and you just feel like, I understand that apocalyptic view, or just this like dissociation from everyone else. So you realize how much of a different reality you live in compared to everyone else. It's really interesting.
I feel I almost personally feel like I can scan people and be like, you don't get it, you don't get it, you don't get it, you get it, you get it, you don't. Like I almost can like put people, and I'm not judging, it's just more, you know, you can just even connect with someone and understand where their heart space is, if it's fully closed or if there's like some opening there. And it's, yeah, I would say the 90% of people are just so zombies. I feel like they're just zombies.
It's interesting you're picking up on that. So that's something definitely to explore.
Mm-hmm.
Susan, anything that comes up for you to share in terms of not even disclosure about what's been happening, but like direction of focus for people?
I can't focus at all lately.
You can't focus at all?
I've had such a hard time it's more of like what to focus on, because it seems like the things that I've been focused on are not as important as they used to be. But it's almost also like I can't quite settle my energy.
Sorry. Okay. Catherine, what's your question?
Any advice on where to focus one's energy right now, given what's about to happen, what is happening, especially people who are on this call?
Yeah.
You have to change.
Mm-hmm. I would I would maintain a level of stability through the upper fourth. A level of stability, like, you know, when I say, don't let me push you, like that level of absolute certainty that you are like steady as a rock, like steady as a tree, whatever you want to call it. And I don't mean just physically. It's really accessing, rather remembering that you know, capital K, know. And by fully allowing you to be you without any doubt, without any...
Doubt is huge right now.
Yeah.
Doubt is massive.
Check for
nuances that throw you into doubt.
Huge, huge. That's key right there. Underline it 12 times. Yeah. And I know it's something that we say often, but right now I couldn't have said it better. That is the key to focus on. Any kind of doubt will bring you into a space where you are exposed to a massive
massive attacks. Massive.
So not being able to focus is a massive counter. So what is it that is triggering that lack of focus in you? That's how we walk through this, exactly from that perspective, especially for the next couple of days, but obviously for further down the line, but definitely for the next couple of days.
Now, question, like, what can we expect? I know you told us from a perspective of, you know, how we won't maybe remember these, you know, these people, there may be whatever that disconnection is going to look like. That's on the individual level. Is there any idea as to what we can expect sort of on the collective level? Like, what will we be seeing? What will we experience? Any ideas as to what to be aware of, or just go, okay, if things like this happen, just be aware? Do we have any of that available? Maybe not specific stuff, but
I'm so disassociated from all of that current scene that I haven't a clue what to tell you. Yeah. Susan, if you have anything, but nothing about the current systems that are breaking is on my radar at all. I'm so not there. Anything?
Okay.
Again, it goes back to that stability. Don't let whatever you hear in the news or whatever you see change your state. That's what they want. They want it to change your state. They want you. It wants you to lower base camp. It wants you to be fearful. It wants you. Mm-hmm. Don't allow it.
And hopelessness. That's another card they like to play.
Sometimes I feel like the counter intention is actually being expressed through one individual.
It can very often be.
For myself. Most,
you know how The Matrix has those characters called Mr. Smith?
Yeah, I haven't watched The Matrix in so long. I should probably watch it.
Oh, yeah. I would go through all four.
Okay.
All four, because it's all very, very relevant.
Interesting.
And Mr. Smith's is kind of like the representation of counter in a really beautiful way.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Okay. A great documentary.
That's right. Four part
series. She didn't hear me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I have to get going. I really, really appreciate the call.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you for joining. Is there anything else anybody else wants to ask or say before we pop out?
Just a reflection that I had while being here. Last night I felt like my maybe because I'm accessing more stillness here, just that my sight was getting clearer, more sensitive, and I wasn't sure if I was ready for it. I started to feel like, oh boy, like this just came unannounced and I don't know if I want this, even though I've been like waiting for it kind of thing, or hoping it would come anyway. And I just go back to the last moment where I felt my sight was really clear, and it was right around when I did my sacred contract. And so I guess I'm just trying to
not
understand what's happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. yesterday was a massive day where veils were lifted, which is, Susan, it's why we did what we did. We were able to see that. It was partly to do with the, let's call it cosmic alignment, the astronomical alignment of the planets and all of the celestial bodies. It was a huge day of veils lifting. On a personal level, that can come out with, okay, a massive expansion in one moment, like the access of a deeper aspect of an attribute. And then suddenly what happens? We usually contract. So suddenly that's unknown. No, we're going to go back here. So that's what you're fighting right now in an internal turmoil. What can you do to maintain expansion to the bigger perimeter that you just blasted out into? That's the goal right now. Mm-hmm. Don't go back in. Let yourself convert that unknown into your known, because you've just accessed more. So any kind of exercises that help you not contract are huge right now. Huge, including acceptance and allow yourself to look at it. Allow yourself to look at it, especially if it's sight. It's going to be an intense process, but let yourself feel it.
Yeah. Okay.
Jenny, have any of your attributes? Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Can you remember a time when you were freaked out by your attributes?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What was your process of not contracting or getting out of that momentum into contraction?
Some of it was community. I was also quite blessed. Like very often I got hints about it beforehand. There was information that came up that I didn't think was for me. And I'll use one of the examples at one of the gatherings. One of the first ones that I attended, certainly the first three or four, a person there, and I won't mention names because it's private, but had mentioned an experience about getting information and, you know, sharing it. And I went, okay, well, that's interesting. It has got nothing to do with me. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice to listen to it, you know, and whatever. And, you know, after that, I've never had that, you know, thought in my head again, especially when it comes to the gathering, because everything that, you know, is important and valued to everybody. Right. But I sat there and went, okay, well, that's this person's experience. So I'll just listen and, you know, be interested and learn something and whatever. And I don't know what it was. 2-3 days later, no more than that, I actually was, you know, exactly what that person spoke about, that superpower showed up. I went, okay, so if I wasn't there and didn't hear that, I would have been really freaked out.
Okay.
Right. Or I would have doubted it, or I would have not even understood what it was. I just said, no, it's nothing. I don't know. It must be just a weird thing going on in my head. So I've been fortunate that I've always had that. There's always been things available to me. So it's never that shocking. But sometimes when the things aren't not great, right? You know, there's a few times where I've been woken up in the middle of the night and it's like, okay, wow, this isn't cool, you know, from a human perspective. From a spirit perspective, okay, really cool. Coming from a place of neutrality, because the steps you have to take for most people wouldn't look at it as being positive or pleasant or anything like that. But having that information just helps you literally move forward, step into position. Literally the word that comes to me is step into position. Mm. And then launch.
Yeah.
So yeah. I my feeling is, you know, and that's why I was asking some of the questions. And then, you know, what it feels like, and so as I said, step into position and then launch, like there's going to be a lot of that happening. Like, I think that's part of whatever the process we're going through. So, you know, how comfortable is each person getting into position and launching?
Yeah.
Right. And I guess too, one of the interesting things is that on the aspect, because I think this is important, it doesn't matter who you are or what your sacred contract is, but none of us know how, you know, nobody gets a handbook. Or if you were handing out handbooks, Susan and Catherine, you know, I didn't get mine. Because you know, you just
what do you mean you didn't get yours?
I got a handbook, but not a handbook on, okay, so this is how you activate your, you know, your superpowers and this and that and the other thing. This is just talking about those things, right? So what, fair you know, enough. So what I find, you know, so what I find very most, I mean, I think it's like, it's just always, it's a, it's not even occasionally, it's always. When it comes to your superpowers, there isn't like a aha moment. There isn't a, you know, this is how you do it. It's you're called to literally stand in position. You're called to launch. And you just do it because you know that you know, even though you don't have a freaking clue in the human. Mm-hmm. And you just go ahead and you step in and intuitively do what you need to do. Full stop. That's my experience with it. And that if you don't, and if that's not a position that you like to be in, well, okay, that's a whole other story, but it just more of, okay, I've been called to task. This has been, this has shown up in my world. What do I do with it? How do I use my superpowers? How do I use all that I am to deal with this? And then you just intuitively do it.
And a big thing that's coming up along those lines is this counter narrative, you're crazy. What you're saying is so fantastical. Remember, Susan, when we did our joint sacred contract retrieval, that sticky came up. We are reflecting fantastical realities. Fantastical means difficult to believe. Like, it's difficult to believe what's about to come out of my mouth. And yet, okay, I'm gonna launch using your words, Jenny. I'm just gonna do it. I've faced that more in the last week than ever. Yeah, and the stuff coming out is unbelievable in every single definition. So that's where we are right now.
Yay.
Yeah. Okay. Stuff is happening. Don't take for granted stability. And whenever you see the nuance of doubt, grab it and shake it and just look at it until it completely dissolves. No reason for doubt. And that sentiment, you're crazy, that's doubt.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. I do I have one question, and you know, I was going to bring it up at some point, and maybe this isn't the area to do it, but we've talked, you know, a couple of times about, you know, Earth 6, right? And when we talk about sort of not wanting to be someplace or not having the will or anything like that, like my human is very clear that it does not want to be in Earth 6. Like, I'd prefer not to go there, even from, you know, and my human is talking because spirit will go wherever spirit has to be. But, you know, I'm just going to put it out there. So if that's something I have to clear, I don't know. But from where I am right now, it's like, I really don't feel like being in six.
100% clear it. Clear what? The charge. Whether you were going to be or not, not relevant in this moment. Don't create the sentiment, I don't want to be in six, because you will be in six.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So that kind of neutrality is super important. I'm really glad that you brought that up.
Yeah.
Once you clear the charge on that, you can actually see when the next one, when the next, which earth you're going to show up in next.
Okay. Okay. Because I know when you first mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, oh, I don't really want to be there.
Yeah.
But I would assume that most people are saying the same thing. Nobody's going, wow, Earth 6, automaton state. Wow, can't wait.
Well, there's a lot of them. The ones that are like into AI are full throttle. Let's go into 6. The interesting thing though is, because 6 is now superimposed onto 4 and 5 until the repudiation period finishes, it is actually technically here. So if you're saying you don't want to be in 6, you're saying you don't want to be here. And that is a huge Achilles. So watching that nuance.
Okay. So okay. All right. I'll sit with that. And
yeah. Chew on that one.
Great. Thanks for mentioning your 6 to me. So now I got something else. Another opportunity to clear. Yay.